Hello and welcome to episode 190 of the Live to Walk Again podcast. My name is Jeremy Dixon, your host as always. Here with me today, Ricardo Benavides, one and only. Ricardo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. I'm sorry that I ran late and probably bounced Brandon out of this episode.
I don't think that's the whole reason he would have been. Yeah, the internet provider was at his house today trying to set up new internet. I don't know what, something. Although we pushed our recording like three times this week to accommodate him. But no worries, Brandon. Hope your internet's working well. We took a week off last week. Ricardo, you were in Hawaii for Cousin John's wedding. I know you FaceTimed so I could watch along the ceremony. It was pretty cool. I found it funny. You kept being like, you were like, I don't know if you were like showing me to different people, and then like, it's Jeremy. That's what I just kept hearing. You said you couldn't really hear. I couldn't hear much.
Because people kept saying, put your phone down, put your phone down.
I kept hearing, it's Jeremy. And then at one point you handed the phone to Uncle Dave, and I don't think he realized I was on FaceTime because he just put the phone up to his ear. So I was looking into his ear while he was talking to me. It was like, this is not going well. It was great to see the ceremony. Congratulations to John and Tamara. It's pretty awesome that they got married.
Well, I asked John, I saw John beforehand, before everything started. I said, hey, it's okay if I FaceTime Jeremy, and he goes, yeah, that's totally cool. And then he was all excited that that I had signal out there on the beach. And then my kids are behind me and they're like, put your phone down. I go, it's Jeremy, man. and then they go, you shouldn't have it up. There's a photographer. And it's like, you guys, John wants this. It's Jeremy. So it was so funny because they couldn't sync up, it was like, come on, you guys.
Yeah.
So
that's funny. That's great. Yeah, I appreciate you doing that and letting me be able to watch along through the
too bad it wasn't a very good audio because it was so windy there on the beach.
I couldn't hear much, but I figured out what was going on.
He was giving his life away. 50% of everything he owns is now Tamara's, so
it happens, man. It's good for him. But anyway, we have a great guest this week, Ricardo, a gentleman named John Pace from out in Virginia. He is he's another bodybuilder. Just we had Tyler Dunham on the last episode, episode 189, which I suggest anybody go back and listen to if you haven't heard that one yet. Tyler was a great guest and had a hell of a story. But John does as well. Crazy circumstances. He's talking about, we always talk on the show about kind of having, I don't know if an epiphany is the right word, or like, that like makes you, that you go back and you're like, damn, like, I can't believe I was thinking this right before my spinal cord injury. And he had a similar situation. He ended up falling off of a roof, but he said that the day before, a couple days before, he had prayed that he basically could, he was having a hard time, I guess, kind of feeling empathy for people, maybe is, I don't know if that's like the correct word, but like kind of, I don't know, like he was just having that's what it seemed like to me, what he was trying to get, the point he was trying to get across. He was having a hard time like feeling for people, and he wanted that. And so then the next day he falls off of a roof and suffers a spinal cord injury.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just get this out there. He has the best voice. I mean, when I heard that man's voice, I was thinking, this guy could do audiobooks.
Yeah.
He has a book out there. He should do an audiobook of his book. Absolutely. I mean, I think that would be so great. He has got the best voice, John.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, John, definitely do that. But yeah, it was, you know, I mean, I thought that was, because I've had trouble dealing with that too. Like when people are like complaining to me about aches and pains and stuff, and I'm just like, man, you have no idea. Like it's sometimes it is hard to kind of feel that empathy for other people when you're especially in this situation. But yeah, I mean, that's crazy that he had that thought though, like while he was still able-bodied before his accident, and then this happened. But you know, he's really made the best of it from everything. Like he's a world champion bodybuilder, he's basically doing everything that Tyler on the last episode said he is striving for. So yeah, I mean, he's amazing. He kind of turned his life around after the accident. You know, ended up getting divorced from the woman he was married to at the time, and just really kind of, he mentioned he had been drinking quite a bit and maybe smoking a lot of cigars and kind of not really concerned about his health much, but really turned that all around and decided to start bodybuilding, like of all things. And now he is just ripped to shreds and just, I mean, that guy's huge. It's crazy.
Yeah, he looks great. Yeah, I went and checked him out. You know, the thing is, you know, sometimes I wonder about like the divorce part, right? And the strength of families, right? And, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, you know, sometimes the coping mechanism and, like you said, the empathy for other people, sometimes people just don't have it. They may still love you, but it's, the struggle is real. And, you know, breakups happen between boyfriends and girlfriends when, you know, just ordinary accidents happen, you know, when some trauma happens in a relationship. It doesn't have to be as severe as a spinal cord, but I was not surprised when he mentioned he had gotten divorced.
Yeah, it definitely happens. You hear about it quite often with this injury, but yeah, I mean, it can happen with, I mean, like what, there's more than 50% of people that get married get divorced, right? So
yeah. And then you always hear about people that have spinal cord injuries who find somebody that ends up marrying them and they have kids, and it's amazing. So it goes both ways, but yeah, I wasn't really surprised so much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't want to give away too much from the interview, but we'll get to that right here, and then we'll talk to you guys on the other side.
Sounds good, Jeremy.
All right. This week on the Live to Walk Again podcast, I am super excited to visit with our guest, John Pace. He is a wheelchair bodybuilding champion, host of the Rolling to Win podcast, and a disability advocate. John, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself, Jeremy?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you coming on and joining me. I know we did. This is our last episode. We had Tyler Dunham on, who's also, he's kind of, I guess, kind of working to be where you're at as far as being a bodybuilding champion. And so, yeah, it was funny how it all kind of lined up for us to be talking this week. So,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, for anybody who doesn't already know your story, John, can you give us a little bit of background on how you suffered a spinal cord injury?
Sure. So I guess I can kind of start at the beginning, how I ended up in the situation. And let's see. So I was working for one of the major utilities companies in Nashville. I did contract work, so I had my own utilities construction business at the time. And the contract had actually run out of money. So I was on vacation here and went and visited a nephew of mine who was, he's autistic and it's prevented him from a lot of opportunities. But my mother was able to purchase a home for him that he could afford on his stipend. And when I went to see the house, you know, he's like, hey, check it out. So I went to see his house and it was kind of in shambles. I think he'd had some problems with his father who had been kind of helping him out. You know, like he turned he turned 18, so it gave him, you know, all the rights, but he didn't have the capacity to really take care of himself. So he was in kind of a terrible situation. So I took some time to come and kind of get him cleaned up. And then I'd always worked kind of off and on with my grandfather. When I came to town, who was at the time, I think he was kind of 79 years old or 78. He's 40 years older than me. So he asked me if I wanted to go help him on the roof. So I went and helped on the roof and was kind of tarping it up so that rain wouldn't get in, and had just made a bad step and fell off the roof. And that's where I broke my back, right after I'd gotten my nephew's house kind of cleaned up for him, and his dad had come back to kind of take over and all that stuff. So at least we got all that worked out. And then I ended up falling off the roof after that. So, one of the things about that was kind of like the night before, I noticed that, like, I wasn't really as compassionate about the project as I wanted to be, you know, like I really wanted to feel that, I really wanted to feel for, you know, my nephew a little more than thinking that, like, gosh, this is a pigsty and all this, like, I really wanted to feel something. So I had prayed that evening, prayer, like, I really wanted to start feeling for people, like how Jesus felt for people. And then the next day I fell off the roof, and in that it took a long time, but you know, now I sort of, my mission is to still, you know, show people the love that I wanted to show before, and really couldn't for some reason. I just didn't have it in me until I'd fallen off the roof. So kind of like life for the better, had to fall off the roof to humble myself and get into a position to actually, you know, love my fellow man like I should. So wow. Pretty wild.
Wow. That's intense. When did this happen? Like how long ago, did the accident happen where you slipped off the roof?
So this year it'll be 6 years. It was, June 9th in 2018 when this happened. So, 6 years.
What level injury did you suffer?
So T12 and L1 both burst, and then there was like a fracture in T11 as well. So they fused from T10 down to L2. So it considered me a T10 complete. However, you know, years of effort and stuff, I've got a little bit of, you know, feeling and sensation, and I can actually stand up. Not unassisted. I have to be assisted to stand, but, you know, have a little strength in my legs, so I can feel weight through my bones and stuff, which is better than zero, which was the prognosis to begin with. So
absolutely. So you fall off the roof, you know, do you lose consciousness? What's going through your mind if you don't lose consciousness? I mean, are you just like, I can't move, like what the hell's going on? Or,
you know, right, what, so what I fell off the roof, you know, I kind of like fell into some tomato cages. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where people put the tomato cage and the tomato grows up in it. I fell in amongst that stuff and fell on like a 4x4 wood plank on my left side here. And I didn't get knocked out, but while my eyes were shut, it felt like I was just kind of stuck in a bush, like straight up and down. Until I opened my eyes and realized that I was like just in a heap on the ground. It's like, uh-oh, now we have a problem. So I kind of knew that my back was broken pretty much instantly. And my granddad was kind of picking at me. He's like, get up, you're all right. And I was like, no, I'm not all right. Gotta call 911. And then one of the other people on site grabbed my leg and tried to pull me out of the bush. And I was like, whoa, don't touch me. Just wait until... Yeah. I grew up in, you know, I was a Boy Scout, and then I was in the service. So I kind of knew, you know, a lot of first aid stuff, you know, don't touch anybody with a spinal cord injury sort of thing. And unless you know what you're doing. And it was about 45 minutes. And then the rescue squad, the accident rescue squad up here, came out and got me to a church, where they airlifted me up to Roanoke and there at that hospital, they put me back together. So.
Wow. So, you know, they probably, after you get airlifted and they get you all kind of squared away, what's the rehab process look like? I know they don't give people any time in rehab anymore, as little as possible, but yeah, how long did you get, and where did you end up going through rehab at?
Right. So, it was 33 days from the time that I got hurt to the time that I was on my way back home. And we started off at the Carilion Roanoke Memorial Hospital. And then from there, Roanoke has an inpatient rehabilitation facility called the Carilion Community Hospital there. And there, you know, a couple of people came out that had spinal cord injury that are in this area and was like, you know, it's going to be okay, life isn't over, but that's not really what you're trying to hear. Or me personally, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm the sole provider of my household. How am I going to pay bills? You know, like, what am I going to do now? There was a whole lot of that. And, yeah, so 33 days later, I was heading home, but really wasn't ready and had that overall sense of impending doom, you know? Like, I don't know if everybody gets it after the spinal cord injury, but I was just like, oh my God, what is going to happen from here? I was just scared to death. So.
Right. No, I think that goes through most of our heads after this, you know, when we're coming out, especially like transitioning out of that, you know, the hospital bubble, or whatever you want to call it, like coming back to the kind of the real world and having to deal with this thing. So are you transitioning then from this hospital in Roanoke to back to Nashville, or
where did you go
coming out of the hospital?
Yeah, I went back to Nashville and was there. I kind of had the lady I was married to at the time kind of gave me like an enabling, you know, attitude. So I dealt with a whole lot of the motion and even physical pain with alcoholism or alcohol. And, you know, it wasn't until I guess she'd had enough that I had to head back home. I say back home, but I have adult children that live here in Southwestern Virginia. So, you know, to get close to them, one of them had a child at the time. So I was, you know, a young grandfather, but in the wheelchair. So I moved back here and bought this little house that I'm in, and, you know, it was pretty independent for a long time. And finally, you know, managed to get everything together to where I am today, for sure.
That's good. That's good. You know, so what you talk about your grandfather, you know, being there when you get hurt you know, your nephew and stuff, like, so what kind of role did your like friends and family play in kind of helping with your, you know, the role in your recovery, like, you know, like from maybe a mental side of things? I like to always ask people, like, where were you at mentally coming out of the hospital? But you kind of already touched on that.
Sure. Well, nobody was there in Nashville, so it was kind of just me and my youngest son's mother, the lady I was married to at the time. And, family didn't really visit too much or any of that stuff. I guess, you know, that was kind of, that was difficult at the time, but that's just kind of the way it goes. Just kind of accept it and whatnot. So, right. I mean, hell, they're down here and they don't come visit. Just my kids, you know. But I think, you know, my mother's in pretty bad shape now. She has like a lot of breathing issues and stuff. And then they're all living their own lives, you know, which is how people end up doing. They just kind of go on their merry life, you know?
Right. Yeah. So I guess like fast forwarding a little bit, to where you start as documenting your recovery you know, doing like advocacy work and things like that. Cause like a lot of your posts are really like inspirational and,
right on. Thanks.
So, you know, when do you start documenting that? Like, did you have any apprehension about, you know, like posting yourself after your injury?
Right. So probably for 6 months before I moved here, I had started working on basically how I'm going to live independently, you know, because I'd found out that that you know, I was no longer going to be married and have that support system there, and was kind of like, well, what am I going to do now? So I started doing the stuff I could do, which was, you know, the physical stuff initially. And so I kind of back up a little. I read something that said, change what you can change to change your life. You know, so at first I was like, what does this mean exactly? So I'm thinking I'll change maybe something physically, you know. So I had initially just jumped on some social media, created a couple of social media accounts, but you know, like the faceless social media guy, you're just kind of looking for ideas or whatever, other people that are similar or have similar situations. So you know, you start friending all the people on Facebook so you can see what they're up to and see how they're living life. And it was right there after the whole COVID debacle, when I had made the initial post, I think was probably January 3rd, 2021, when I said that, you know, from here on, we're going to be doing this gym life, going to get into bodybuilding, which I had spoken with a lot of the bodybuilders that were wheelchair athletes beforehand. And, you know, just like I would tell anybody who was reaching out to me now would be, you know, heck yeah, just jump in the gym and do what you can, get as strong as you can with what you can. And that's going to give you the best life that you can have, as far as, because you have to get around in a wheelchair, you got to be as strong as you can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what, so were you active on social media at all prior to your injury, or is this all like,
yeah, it was all new. It's still new, really. still clueless. Just trying to do what I can to motivate anybody who's willing to take a shot. So
yeah, no, absolutely. It's great. Your page is great. At least on, I follow you on Instagram. I don't know, like, what we'll get to your other pages after a while here, but you know, or if you have any others. But yeah, what kind of feedback did you get from, you know, people seeing you, you know, putting yourself out there and getting back and getting into the gym and really like chasing after this body?
Nothing bad. Very encouraging. Yeah, you know, it's a very encouraging community. You know, everybody's like, and even I'm in some bodybuilding groups and some other platforms where I really don't post a whole lot, just kind of keep this for able-bodied people, you know, but I do post in there. And, you know, of course there's the, you know, you're a great inspiration. You're very inspirational. Even as far as like, I can walk around and I still don't look like you kind of stuff, which, you know, it feels great. And it is motivational to keep posting, to keep the good vibes going, you know, cause you really, I guess nowadays there's not enough good vibes out there. So it's anything that you can do to keep the vibes going is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know, so I mentioned Tyler Dunham that we had on the last episode. He made a point to say, you know, he was back in the, because he was working out pretty extensively prior to his injury. Right. And he was talking about, you know, being back in the gym and people coming up and saying, oh, like, you really encourage me, you're an inspiration. And him just being like, sure, screw you, man. I'm going to be lifting more than you in a couple weeks. Just give me a chance here. And right. I mean, is that kind of like, what's your mindset when it comes to that stuff with people, you know, coming up and telling you're an inspiration and all that stuff? Are you use it as like a, you know, like, I don't know.
At this point, it's cool. I dig it. Like, what I've noticed is there's a pattern that at the beginning of every year, there's new people that come into the gym. It might be their resolution and stuff. So, they'll see me and they're like, oh my gosh, you're such an inspiration. If you can do it, I have no excuse. I'm like, try it. You know, I'm just, get after it, man. I've seen a few guys in the wheelchairs that, get upset because, you know, you're such an inspiration. And I kind of get that too, because I mean, just think about it. You know, you're getting out of the car, you're just trying to go get your groceries, and now all of a sudden you're an inspiration to somebody, you know, who's just doing the same thing you're doing.
Right.
Oh, great. You know, it's great. You crawled out of your cave to go get your groceries. Like, it's, and whatever. I mean, just because you don't see it, but they think, you know, somebody sees that you're in the wheelchair, they think you have the roughest life that you could possibly have. But I bet you that I'm probably living life better. It's different. So maybe better is not the right word, but better than I used to. I mean, I used to be sort of the man's man, you know, the bourbon drinking, cigar smoking. I was a lineman, so I just like worked hard, played hard kind of thing. It was never in the gym, didn't believe in it even. And that sort of life just ain't for, I mean, I guess I could have continued down that path, but it wasn't going to be fruitful moving forward. I was just kind of like a functional screw up, really. And so getting into the wheelchair, I got sober, got in shape, and it now going to be 45 this year. So I'm not going to compete again, but at 45, you know, competing in bodybuilding shows and stuff, I never would have considered 20 years ago that I would even think about doing.
That was actually going to be my next question, was if you were into bodybuilding before your accident, or if this was all something that kind of came about.
Right. After. Right. No, I feel like I wasted a whole lot of years just not doing it. You know, I have a 23-year-old son, and he's my training partner, and I think that he had set off to kind of emulate what he had envisioned a man to be, which is kind of, you know, free, do whatever you want. And he got in trouble with drugs and alcohol about right at the same time I was going through the divorce, is when it came out that he was going through that stuff. And so I moved back here, and he started training with me and eventually got sober. And, you know, he's where I wish I could have been at his age. And I, you know, like, instead of like being regretful about it, to me, that's a win, because now he has learned from me to be better than I was. So like, that's great. You know, that's just great. And so that's where I want to go with my podcast, my channel and stuff too, is like, I want to see somebody be the best they can be, no matter who it is, no matter what the situation. And if we can share our stories in this manner, then let it be an inspiration to somebody. You know, there may be the wheelchair user that needs it, but there may also be the able-bodied person that needs it too. Yeah. And I never really realized that stuff, because we're totally into ourselves as we go through life. You know, we don't really consider, we'll see somebody else's situation and think, oh, that's terrible, but at the same time, we're not really considering what they're going through and stuff. And again, I never had that until even a consideration about what other people may be going through, until I was in a situation where I needed to reach out for help, which would be, you know, where we're at. So
I hear you. You know, the one more question before we get to the podcast and the Rolling to Win and everything. So how was that the adaptive sport you kind of decided to go after, as opposed to, you know, wheelchair basketball or one of the other,
right,
the other ones that they have out there for?
I don't know. I think as a kid, I liked He-Man. And when I was a kid, bodybuilding was kind of a big thing. You could watch it on regular TV. And so it would be on, and I watched it. Me and my older brother, we were into wrestling and bodybuilding and all that fun stuff. But as far as actually getting back into it or getting into the gym later on like I did, like I said, I never worked out, but I always worked labor-intensive jobs. So I spent some time in the Bricklayers Union, the local number 5 there in Nashville. I spent time in the Carpenters Union and just really liked the heavy lifting kind of work. So what bodybuilding brought me was sleep at night again. you know, because you could work hard all day and then sleep good at night, just, you know, labor intensive. So bodybuilding has been the way to bring that labor back into my life, that heavy physical labor. So yeah, that and also the competitive part of it, it's something to, it's a goal to work toward, which we all need a goal. So
yeah, no, I love that. I love that. So yeah, I guess so now switching gears to the to talking about Rolling to Win. I know on your Instagram page it says want to change perceptions and be included, follow the movement today. And then there's a link to rollingtowin.com. Like, so, and I really just love that kind of the message, you know, changing perceptions and inclusion.
Right.
You know, talk about like, where did the idea for Rolling to Win start? What exactly is it? Cause I see on there, you have like coaching, a link for coaching as well. And you have a blog and then links to the podcast and everything. So yeah, just tell us about Rolling to Win. What exactly are you guys doing there?
Right. So, I want to bring it's the main mission is to spotlight athletes and bring awareness that these are just athletes. We don't have to call them disabled athletes. We are athletes. We're competitive. We train just as hard as anybody else, and maybe even harder in some cases. Like, I saw that there's a Paralympic swimmer. He's got one leg and that's it. And that's how he's swimming. Like, imagine that, you know, what he goes through on a daily basis. But, you know, that's the heart of a warrior, a true athlete there. So the series that I'm working on right now is specifically true athletes. And it's people who, despite what's going on, are still pushing to become champions. And even if you're not participating in a sport, you should become your own hero on a daily constant. Be your own champion just at home, or whatever life that you're living, whatever you're pushing for. So Rolling to Win is just sort of the way to push that out there. I like coaching people that like to listen, and that's kind of hard to find. I could help somebody with mindset or whatever. I wrote a book on how to find purpose even, which we're going to probably start giving away really soon. I wrote it, I put it on Amazon so somebody could buy it, but at the same time, it's information that I don't care if people have it for free. So I'm just going to give that away most likely in some kind of ebook format. And it's a few steps on just how to get it together. So it's all like writing exercises to kind of get mindset out and stuff. So I want to get that together too, because a lot of the big mental health problem right now is folks not having purpose. We live in the attention deficit society. So I wanted to figure out a way to help somebody get down to what they would actually be doing every day to be working toward. And that's where it's called Inner Fire Discovering Purpose is the name of that book. And that was like a project I worked on for probably the first year and a half that I was on the whole path of just, you know, staying sober, getting in the gym, getting competitive, et cetera. So I documented all the different methods that I used. And it's like 11 steps, I think, is what the book is. It's 11 steps. And it's all very simple writing exercises to get a focus on what you want to do next. So
do you think, so when you got divorced, is that kind of what triggered your mindset change to do this? Or like, what changed your mindset from going, like you mentioned that you were, you know, dealing with some like alcohol abuse, maybe like immediately after the accident to where you were?
The divorce was the wake up call 100%. Because I was just sort of, complacent in where I was. Like, if I didn't do anything but sit there and watch TV and grow a beard, that's what I was doing, buddy. you know, and like I said, I was kind of enabled to do that. But unless you're working for something, you can't be happy. So you kind of get, I was really depressed. And when I'm depressed, I guess nobody else around me could be happy either. Right. So, you know, because the people that love you when you're depressed, you don't feel any of that stuff. That's just one of those things, you know. Right. Just leave me alone. I'm a burden. You know, that's a big one. You know, I'm just ruining your life now and all this stuff. Well, I guess this one lesson that I learned out of it, I've learned a lot of lessons. One I learned it is if you call upon the angel of death like that, then he's going to come and visit, right? And in that ended or was the death of my marriage. So. Yeah, I mean, if the negative thought will kill you for sure, I think so. And that's where I was there. All that negativity had to come to an end, or I had to ride it all the way to hell with one of the two. And I decided that I was going to get off of that train and try to live a better life. And that's what I did for sure.
I love that, John. That's amazing. Also there with the blog on the rollingtowin.com site, yeah, are you blogging? How often are you blogging? And
is it try to do up for every athlete. And then, so it's once a week, which this week I'm off because, my girlfriend had like a brain surgery last Thursday. So she's kind of incapacitated. I've been taking care of her. She's better. It was like, you know, she's getting better. So the first couple of weeks were supposed to be rough. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay. So you put a podcast out about once a week then?
Yeah. Yeah. And she was helping. She helps with the website and stuff and that. So the blog is for the, you know, I like to have a blog for the athlete just to write up sort of, you know, really just a real spotlight, because I think that these people are amazing, you know, and getting to talk to them and everything, it's great. And I think they're amazing. And I like giving them the credit that they deserve. So, and then some people like to read, other people like to watch something. So I like to do the write up and then a podcast where we're, you know, chit chatting like you and I are today.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, there's a couple last questions for you, John. And you kind of mentioned that, you know, you're 45 or going to be 45 this year. So we're the same age.
Right.
You know, you mentioned that you're probably, I think you said you're not going to be competing much longer.
I'm not competing this year anymore. Taking a year off and then coming back next year to compete.
Oh, okay. So you are competing. Right. So right. Yeah, I guess my question for you then is like, what are you hoping that the future holds for you, both from the bodybuilding side of things and then also for the Rolling to Win podcast?
Sure. So on the Rolling to Win side, I'm hoping to grow that into something where I can go train with other athletes, right? And do more than just like chit chat on, you know, talking head style. Mm-hmm. So like if somebody's an adaptive surfer, then I think it'd be cool to document adaptive surfing right there where it's happening, right? How do you train for this? What is your practice routine, et cetera? What are the challenges in daily life being an adaptive surfer? Or basketball player, you know, go train with the basketball guy, go train with the rugby guy. To showcase the athlete, to showcase what they're doing, and to give somebody an idea that, ooh, I might want to do that, right? Not to mention, all these sports are really unrecognized. Like, there's wheelchair football that are sponsored by the actual pro teams, you know, like, it's wild.
Yeah, or, I had a couple guys on last year that are on the Dallas Cowboys team.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how I learned about that, was wheelchair football was again, because you brought awareness to it. I'd heard that. Who'd you have on? Was it Adam Lucio?
It was Adam and oh man,
Taylor. What's his face?
Yeah, Taylor. Oh man, I'm blank. I talked to so many people, and so I ended
right.
I'm blanking on his last name, but yeah, it was Taylor no, Adam for sure.
I do good remembering first names too. That's life there. So, but yeah, like unless it was for you know the fact that you brought them to light and then that stuff is out there to see. I never even knew that there was football. So, that's really where I want to go. There is to make sure that we're getting this out there to people who want to do it. And then at the same time, I want to do some stuff that's like, you know, wheelchair tips, just helpful everyday stuff. Like this is how I live my life, you know, and this is how I live my life. And it's pretty good this way. It is really the kicker to it all. Bodybuilding wise, I'm going to take this year to grow. This is the game plan, which I had a different game plan. I'll tell you what that was first. The different game plan, I came in from the Arnold this year and was telling my coach, was like, all right, so we'll do the wheelchair national, then win it. Then 2 weeks after it, we'll have to do the Dallas show to qualify for the Olympia and do that. And he's like, whoa, let's take a break because you've dieted really hard. Let's put some size on, take a year to bulk and come back. So we'll come back for the national and at a time where, you know, hopefully we'll win the national next year. And then in 2026, come into the Arnold, because I think that I have the potential to win the Arnold. I think that I have the potential to possibly even win the Olympia just with the continued dedication and work. I mean, again, it's hard training, but, I think that I could pull that off. That's the game plan, is to go in and just try to win it and qualify for the Olympia and hopefully take a top three at the Olympia. But even if not, just getting to the Olympia stage is sort of the next feat. That's sort of the end game, right? I want to get to the Olympia stage in the wheelchair division. So.
And so do they have different age brackets in the wheelchair division of the bodybuilding competitions, or is it just all one age bracket?
So at the national, they have a breakdown, a couple different divisions. They have a men's physique, which I don't know if they're going to continue to do it. I think now that it's probably only open division now, but in the past it had been like a physique, different weight classes, and then they had a master's for over 40 as well. So I know at the Arnold it was just open, so there was no, you know, open means like all competitors combined, and I think that that's where they're going with the national too, is it's just going to be an open category for the wheelchair division.
Okay.
But they do have a look that they're going for, which is sort of that V-shape, broad shoulders, skinny waist, etc. The MPC chairman talked about it on, I think Nick Scott showed it on his Instagram, you know, is like, this is kind of what we're after. And that's why Rashish John was the winner this year over Gabriele Andreuli, which that guy's phenomenal just in and of himself. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, we'll be wishing you luck from afar, but John Pace, man, I really appreciate you. Go ahead and give like your website and your social media links and everything, right, and I'll attach them down in the show notes as well.
Okay, perfect. So it's rollingtowin.com, and then the YouTube channel is the Rolling to Win YouTube channel, and then my Instagram is also Rolling to Win, and that's rolling with a G, you know, like actually spelled all the way out, not roll in. I'm just sort of Southern; we can't pronounce things right, I guess.
Oh man, well thank you so much, John Pace. It was a pleasure to get to know you and for you to tell your story. I really appreciate it, and yeah, we'll be in touch.
Right on, man. It's good talking to you. Have a good one.
So much. Yeah, you too. All right, that was John Pace. I just want to thank him again. I mean, but just an incredible story of overcoming and really like transformation. I mean, he just, it's amazing what he's accomplished, in the 6 years since he's been paralyzed Salute to him and the podcast he does with the adaptive athletes. I think that's so cool. You know, just Rolling to Win, check him out on rollingtowin.com, and they're doing amazing things over there.
So you know the story where he falls off the roof and lands into the baskets, you know what that reminds me of, don't you?
What?
Your mom fell off a roof while painting, remember? And she missed that fence, that spiked fence, and landed in the bushes. And that broke her fall, thank goodness. But yeah, that was pretty, when I heard where he landed, it was like, oh my gosh, that could have been your mom.
Yeah, and we've talked to a number of people on the podcast that have had similar situations. Adrian Garcia comes to mind right off the bat. I'm blanking on the guy's name who was actually from Virginia as well, and like he was in college and was like drinking a beer on the roof at his frat house or whatever and slipped and fell off the roof and ended up paralyzed. Just crazy, man. It's
completely crazy. Yeah, and before we get
and real quick, the two football players that we were talking about that I couldn't remember Taylor's name. It was Taylor Nichols. Yeah. I apologize. Taylor Made on 503, I think, on Instagram. But yeah, I could not. I was like blanking on his name. Really, I couldn't. I'm an idiot. So anyway,
go ahead. No, you're not. No, you're not. You got a lot going on, Jeremy. But I just want to say, you know, from the podcast here that we wish his girlfriend all the best in her recovery.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That was the first thing you said. Like, why didn't you ask how his girlfriend was doing? I was like, he said everything was good. So I didn't want to like keep pushing, but yeah.
Yeah.
So she is doing well from the sounds of it. So we definitely wish her the best. And then, you know, on to other news, Ricardo, I got invited on to a podcast this week called the Quadcast with John McAlevey. I think that's how you pronounce his last name, but it was a lot of fun. I got to kind of having the tables turned on me. I don't do well with that all the time, but I felt like it went pretty well. We recorded yesterday, which probably will be coming out. If you're listening to this, it'll probably be out within 4 or 5 days of the dropping of this podcast. But I had a good time with that. I want to just thank John for inviting me on his show as well. And it was a lot of fun. Everybody check out the Quadcast after you get done listening to Live to Walk Again.
Yeah, that'll be great. It's probably, depending on how well you did, it could be a really entertaining podcast or the world's shortest podcast.
Exactly. No, it was good. It was probably like an hour or so. I don't know how much he cuts it down, but it was close to an hour that we chatted for, and it was a lot of fun, man. A lot of we talked a bit about Seattle sports, which is always fun for me, and Seattle music and things like that. So that was kind of cool. I wanted to have Brandon on this podcast because he was on another podcast as well over the last couple of weeks, a real estate podcast, and his wife, who I tag in this show every time just to thank her, cause she usually puts the pictures together for me, a little behind the scenes for everybody, but I always tag her and to thank her in the show notes and everything, and she reposted this podcast that Brandon had been on, wrote a freaking novel about how great it was, and I was just like, Brandon, me and your wife are gonna have some issues. You better.
Well, I heard the audiobook of that review is coming out.
She's gonna record an audio for how much she loved this real estate podcast. And I'm just like, Brandon, what's going on? Like, what side of the bread is buttered here for your wife? Like, what the hell's going on? But I get it. She's probably, you know, Brandon makes money from real estate. He doesn't make money from this podcast. So yeah. I guess she had to promote it a little bit. But anyway, do better, Carmen. Maybe post yeah, you, a podcast.
Well, don't poke the bear too much, Jeremy.
Anyway, well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the interview with John Pace. We've got a couple great interviews coming up in the not too distant future. I reached out to a doctor from the Mayo Clinic. His name is Mohammed Biden, but it's not spelled the same as Joe Biden. But he is working on a study that stem cells that are being derived from human fat, like from your own fat cells. So, and I'm not, yeah, I'm just, I reached out to him, sent him an email, hoping to hear back, and hopefully getting somebody, either himself or somebody from their team that's working on this new study that's apparently having a lot of good success. Hopefully we can get one of them on the show to chat about that. And yeah, we just have some great guests coming up, and appreciate everybody listening. You know, please listen, like, rate, review, share, all the good stuff. We appreciate it. Helps us with the algorithms. And yeah, until next week, Ricardo.
Yeah, just moving forward one step at a time with the Live to Walk Again podcast. Sounds great, Jeremy.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week.